church that believes the Bible is God's word and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. Almost feel like I should step down and be down there today. Anyway, hey, I'm glad that you are here. This is a different time of year than any other time of year, isn't it? This is a different time of year because it is the time where you have to wear stretchy pants because you eat too much around the hop. No, I'm just kidding. It's different because this feels like the season that is full of hope. Right? More than any other season, you have hope for the holidays. Maybe this past week, you had hopes for Thanksgiving and everything surrounding it. You said to yourself, I hope that so-and-so doesn't overcook the turkey. I hope that there is that dessert at Thanksgiving dinner. If you're like me, I hope that my children don't turn into ravenous lunatics when everybody gets together. Or maybe it's, I hope that there won't be any arguments this time. Or I hope that I can have patience with that one person that's going to be there. Or I hope that the empty seat at the table doesn't feel quite so heavy this year. You had hopes for this week, and maybe what you hoped for didn't happen. Maybe the turkey was overcooked. Maybe that dessert wasn't there. Maybe your children did go wild. Maybe you didn't have that patience that you were hoping for. Maybe there were arguments. Maybe you felt sorrow because of who wasn't there. And it felt like all of your hope was just dashed on the rocks this season. And now you're not sure that you can bring yourself to have hope for Christmas. And you want to have hope, but you can't. You don't have hope that Christmas will be full of joy for you. You don't have hope that you will get to spend Christmas with those people that you want to spend it with. You don't have hope that the peace we sing about in here will actually reach into your life this season. Well, today we're starting a new series of lessons where we are looking at the gifts of Christmas. And we're starting off by looking at the gift of hope. As we study Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, we're going to see three things you need to know about this gift of hope. Three things you need to know about this gift of hope. So let's start with the first thing you need to know. Number one, our world is in darkness. Okay, if you've got your Bible, look with me at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. Now the Bible uses this imagery of light and darkness a lot. And it's representing good and bad. So light is good, darkness is bad. And by the way, you don't have to read the Bible to know that, right? You just kind of know by living in the world that light is good and dark is bad. Because everything seems scarier at night, doesn't it? You know, during the day, that pile of laundry on the chair is just a chore that you're ignoring. But at night, that's a burglar crouching down waiting to get you. The squeaky floorboard at night isn't just the house settling. It is the ninja that is there to finally get you. You know, that's what happens at night. It seems like everything is scarier. But then, dawn breaks. The sun comes up and you see that it's just really a pile of laundry and you feel silly. When those worries are bathed in the light of day, well, things change. That's kind of how the Bible talks about light and darkness, good and bad. When you look at what is going on in the world, when you turn on the news, when you read the article, when you scroll through Facebook, does it seem like the world is in light or does it seem like it's in darkness? Kind of seems like it's in darkness, doesn't it? It seems like things are bad. We know this because we experience it in the world. Someone says they're going to make that one dish that you love and they're going to bring it to Thanksgiving dinner. Then they only make a tenth of it and you barely get a bite. Well, is that good or bad? That's bad. That's dark, isn't it? Or you get a bag of chips and you open it up and it's 90% air. The other 10% is just disappointment at that point. But is that good or bad? It's bad. It's dark. More seriously, another couple that you know is headed to divorce because one of them just doesn't want to work on things, and now their child will probably grow up in a broken home. Well, that's bad. That's dark. or you see a report about a war where thousands upon thousands of people are suffering. That's bad. That's dark. You read that Christians are being persecuted for the faith and they are being killed by the hundreds. That's bad. That's dark. Or yet another person that you know just cannot see a way forward and they end up taking their own life. That's bad. That's dark. Isaiah talks about people walking in darkness and living in the land of darkness. You read it here, but you also see it. You see that our world is in darkness, which makes us long for the light. We weren't made to live in darkness. We were made by God to live in the light. He created us to be in His presence, to enjoy good things that come from Him, to rejoice in the light. But sin has darkened our world. Adam and Eve, the first humans, when they decided to go against God, then everything changed. When they sinned on behalf of the rest of us, everything that was good suddenly started to decay in some way. When they decided to ignore God and do what they wanted instead, it changed the world. And now when we experience bad things, it's not because God created the world bad. It's because sin brings darkness. Sin has cast a shadow on everything. That's what we're living in. Our world is in darkness. Have you ever walked through your house at night with the lights off, with all of the confidence of a Navy SEAL? You know, you are convinced that your internal GPS for your house is perfect until you are humbled by the corner of the bed frame. You know, you're walking through the dark just trying to get somewhere, and all of a sudden, things went wrong. Now, I'm convinced that any time we turn the lights off, the furniture just moves 3 inches in one direction, you know, just to hunt our feet. And you weren't trying to get in foot-to-foot combat with the table. You were trying to get a glass of water. But every time you turn those lights off and you try to walk through it, it feels like your living room turns into an obstacle course designed to absolutely destroy your toes. Right? That is what darkness does. It takes normal life and makes it harder. It makes things bad. It turns a simple walk into a painful limping dance. That's what you experience in life. Darkness creates obstacles. It hides them. It confuses direction. And that's what you experience. Our world is in darkness. So let me ask you, where does the darkness feel heavy for you? What is it that happens and you feel the ache of, this isn't how it's supposed to be? Maybe it's in your relationships. Maybe it's in your private thoughts. Maybe it's in the fears that you have about the world that your kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews will grow up in. You know it. You can feel it. You can see it. Our world is in darkness. But it is into that darkness, into that heaviness, that confusion, that God gives the gift of hope. So the first thing that you need to know about this gift of hope is that our world is in darkness. But there's a second thing you need to know. It's number two, Jesus brings light and hope. When we read Isaiah 9, we are reading a prophecy about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth. And look at what it says, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoiced at harvest time, and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. We read that and we see that it's describing great things. Things like increased joy, the end of oppression, the uniforms of war being burned forever. That all sounds great, right? But take a look around. When you look at the world, do you see complete joy? And some of you are like, Sean, I don't even see complete joy on my pew right now. and I'm the only one sitting on the pew. No, you don't see complete joy in the world. Is there still oppression in the world? Yeah, of course. Is there still war in the world? Yes, there is. So you can feel the tension between what you read here and what you experience in life. Well, the people that Isaiah wrote to originally felt this tension too. They hear about light and hope, but that's not what they were experiencing. They were in darkness. They were surrounded by their enemies. Their future looked bleak. Their leaders were corrupt. Their hope was barely hanging on. And spiritually, they were blind. Physically, they were surrounded. Emotionally, they were exhausted. Every direction they looked in seemed like night. What they needed was light and hope. Don't you know that feeling? Don't you know what it's like to long for light and hope? There are times that things get so bad that you almost lose all hope. Maybe your marriage is hanging on by a thread and you don't have much hope. Maybe you are staring at a stack of medical bills that you know you can't pay and you barely have hope. Maybe your child has walked away from the faith and they won't even talk to you about it and you barely have hope. Maybe the treatments aren't working and you barely have hope. Maybe you feel like a cloud is always over you and you barely have hope. Everything seems, everything looks, everything feels dark. And you get so used to it that you can't imagine things will ever be different. So you stop walking with confidence. You stop moving forward because you're afraid of hitting another obstacle in the dark. You have stubbed your toes enough times on the furniture that you don't want to go any further. So you just freeze and you try to survive. Well, here's the good news. God did not leave us in the dark. Verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness." See, Jesus, the light of the world, left heaven and came to earth, and he has given you hope. Jesus brings light and hope. He has shined a light so that now you can know how to live. You can know what is good and what is right and what is beautiful in life. He has shown you that living in this world is about living in connection with God, your creator, and he has given you that connection. And he has given you hope. Hope that things don't always have to be the way that they are right now. Hope that the darkness will not win. Hope that whatever you're facing will one day change in him. Jesus brings light and hope. But you might ask, if Jesus is the light, then why are there still shadows? You know, Jesus has come, so why is there still cancer? Why is there still war? Why is there still abuse? How can we justify that if Jesus has come and he brings light and hope? Well, the answer to that is in the word dawn. It's verse 2. It says, "Light has dawned." And to understand it, imagine that you are camping. You're out in the woods camping. Some of you are like, "Sean, I come to church for hope, not for nightmares. I'm not going to think about camping." Others of you are like, "You know, with the company that's been staying with me this week, I would love to go camping where nobody else is. Can you tell me a place?" Okay, well, imagine that you are camping. And you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's like the sun hasn't fully come up yet, but it's different. It's not night anymore. It's not pitch black. You can see the trees, you can see the path, you can see every step that you're going to take. You can see where you're walking. The light has come, but the sun isn't high up in the sky yet. So it's still a little gray, it's still a little cold, the shadows are still a little long. Well, that's where we live right now. In Jesus, hope has dawned. The light has broken the horizon. We aren't in total darkness anymore. We know where we are going and we have hope. But we're still waiting for high noon. We're still waiting for the sun to be directly overhead and when there are no shadows left at all. That's what we're waiting for. Jesus brings light and hope. And this is where Christian hope sits, in the tension between the already and the not yet. You're already forgiven, but you're not yet fully free from everything. You are already redeemed, but you're not yet perfectly whole. You are already healed from the disease of sin, but you are not completely healed from the brokenness of your body. You are already at peace with God, but not yet at peace with all of creation. See, Jesus brings light and hope, but we don't have the fullness of it yet. So with that in mind, how does the light help us today while we are still in the shadows? Well, it means that we don't have to freeze anymore. It means that we don't have to be paralyzed by fear. The dawn has broken so that we can see enough to walk. That means you can see the obstacles. You can navigate the hard things without being destroyed by them. You can see the path so you can avoid some of those things that would kill you. You can see the future. You know that the sun is rising and it's not setting. See, that is hope. Jesus has brought the light. We can now see how to live, but we are hoping for the day when he returns and sets all things right again. Friend, this is your hope if you have faith in Jesus. It's not that everything is perfect right now. We know that's not true. It is that one day he will return. And when he returns, everything that is wrong with the world will be made right. Jesus is the light of the world. He has come. The darkness has been defeated. And one day at high noon, Jesus will finish what he started. Jesus brings light and hope. So that's the second thing you need to know about the gift of hope. And then there's a third thing you need to know about the gift of hope. It's number three. Jesus is our hopeful King. So if you have your Bible still, look with me at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. In these verses, he's talking about a government, he's talking about a throne, a prince, a dominion, a kingdom. What Isaiah is getting at is that a king is coming and the world will be saved through the king. The world will have hope through the king. But when you get to the Christmas story, you realize that this king is not what we expect him to be. Jesus is the king, but he is not a warrior that rode in on a horse. He did not come as a politician that was shaking babies' hands and kissing, No, he came as a child. He came as a son. He came as a baby born in a manger. At Christmas, the gift of hope didn't come roaring down from the sky. It came crying in a cradle. And Isaiah, when he's describing this king, he piles name upon name upon name on him. And it's the reason he does this is because no single title could encompass who he is. So he says that he is Wonderful Counselor, he is Mighty God, he is Everlasting Father, he is the Prince of Peace. And he's giving these not just as poetic labels. Instead, he is describing who Jesus will be for his people forever. Jesus is our hopeful king. That's what Isaiah is telling us. He is the king that gives you the gift of hope. Here's what I mean by that. Everything that you experience from Jesus right now is just a preview of what you will experience in full when he comes back. So let me ask you, have you experienced deliverance in Jesus? Has he delivered you from sin, from habits, from guilt? Well, guess what? That is just a taste of the full deliverance that you will experience when Jesus comes back. Have you experienced healing in Jesus? Has he healed you from anger, from depression, from bitterness, from anxiety, from envy? Well, that is just a taste of the full healing that you will experience when Jesus comes back. Have you experienced rest in Jesus? Has he taken some burdens from you? Has he shown you that you don't have to work your way to God? Has he eased your conscience before God? That is just a taste of the full rest that you will experience when Jesus comes back. What we experience now, healing and deliverance and rest, it is all just a taste of what the King will bring when he returns. You know what the best part of going to Sam's Club is? Yeah, that took a turn. Best part of going to Sam's Club is in the back by the food where they have the samples. You know, you get a little sample and you're like, man, that thing tastes way better than when I cook it at my house. Well, the sample is just a taste of what you could experience if you buy the whole thing. It's like God is giving us a sample. When we experience these things in Jesus, deliverance, rest, healing, he is giving us a sample of what we will experience in full when our King returns. And that should give us hope. Jesus is our hopeful King. Some of you know, because I often get up here and complain about the things going on in my life, some of you know that our roof got pretty messed up when a tornado came through a couple years ago. This tornado came through our neighborhood, I guess, and it like ripped an entire section of shingles straight off our roof. It was like the tornado was an angry toddler, just grabbed our house by the hair and ripped out a chunk. Now, I am not an expert, all right? But I am pretty sure that a roof is not supposed to have bald spots. I know that much. And so I knew that we needed to get it fixed. I knew the water was supposed to stay outside of the house, not come in the house. And so it was a huge mess. It needed to be fixed. It needed to be put back in order. I am a pastor. Like my education, my degree is in theology. I don't know the first thing about roofs, you know? On top of that, I'm afraid of heights. So I'm not going to climb up on the second story and get up on the roof. I can't fix a broken coat hanger. I don't even have a ladder that could get anywhere close to the problem. You see, I am completely helpless to fix it. And so every time I would walk outside, it was like my roof was just looking down on me like, are you going to do something about this? And then shame. It was like, I'm sorry, I wish I could, but I can't. So eventually we had someone come out and they put a tarp on the roof. Now that was great. You know, it was meant to keep the rain out, which is very important. But it wasn't like a permanent fix. After a while, it started to rip. After a while, it looked pretty tattered and torn. It was barely hanging on to the roof. And every time it rained, I would just pray, Lord, please hold that tarp to the roof. Now, send angels. Send duct tape. Send anything, please. Eventually, we talked to a roofer. And he said, oh yeah, I can fix that. And we hired him to do the work. And let me tell you, when he said that to us, I was filled with hope. Finally, someone was going to fix what I could not fix myself. And I am proud to say, happy to say that though it took a while, our roof is fixed. I mean, it did take a year and a half after the fact, but the roofer came out and he fix this thing that I could not fix myself. He made it look like it is brand new. He fixed what was broken. Friends, if you have faith in Jesus, what Isaiah is saying is here is this type of hope that you are holding on to. You know the world is broken. You know the world is in darkness. You know you can't fix it, and you know these temporary solutions will not last. But listen to me. The King is coming soon, and he will fix what is broken. He will absolutely set everything right. Your hope will be fulfilled because the King will come. He is on his way, and when he arrives, he will fix things that will never be broken again, and this restoration will be complete. Jesus is our hopeful King, and he will rule forever. Did you see Isaiah talking about the government? It said the government will be on his shoulders. That means that he will be the one who is in charge of everything. He will bear that responsibility. He won't put that burden on us. And it described this kingdom. When the kingdom comes fully, then we will experience prosperity that never ends. Things will be great forever. They will never get worse. We will never have a recession. We will never have a depression. Everything will be perfect for the rest of eternity. There will be justice and righteousness so that nothing will ever go wrong. No one will ever be abused. No violence will ever occur. Isn't that what your heart aches for? Isn't that what you long for? When you read something or you see something, you think to yourself, why can't someone fix this place? Listen, someone can. Someone will. Jesus, our hopeful King, will fix what is broken. And our King will make sure that it happens. This doesn't depend on us. It is all Him. It says the zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. That is the one who has control of everything. The one who is over every country, every military. The one who can do anything. The one who can accomplish anything. He is the one who will do this. He will make sure that no one stops it. So we can have hope. Jesus is our hopeful King. That means that you don't have to panic when you see the direction of the world. You don't have to be crushed by the brokenness around you. You don't have to carry burdens that belong on the shoulders of the King. So when you feel overwhelmed, have hope because He carries the world. When you feel anxious about the future, have hope because His kingdom will not collapse. When you feel discouraged by the darkness, have hope because His reign will bring endless light. When you feel powerless, have hope because the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Some of you need to hear this today. Your job is not to fix the world. Your job is to have faith in. Your job is to have hope in the one who will. That's why Jesus is not just a king. He is our hopeful King because He is the one who guarantees that every broken thing will be healed. Every sad thing will come untrue, and everything wrong will be made right forever. Jesus is our hopeful King. That's the third thing you need to know about this gift of hope. So, I know that this Christmas season, it can be great, but for some it can be really hard. And so my hope for you is that no matter what you experience, you will see and receive this gift of hope. Because our world is in darkness. But Jesus brings light and hope. And He is our hopeful King. So no matter how dark things seem, no matter how hopeless life feels, no matter what goes on with you, remember that you have this gift of hope because of Jesus, your King. But let me ask you a question this morning. Is Jesus your King? If you have never trusted in Him, if you have never put your faith in Him for the forgiveness of your sin, then He is not your King. And you have not received this gift of hope. Instead, right now, you are still living in the land of darkness. You are fumbling around in the dark, searching for light. And that is what your heart longs for. It's what your soul craves, light and hope. But that can only be found in Jesus. The problem is that you are in darkness because you have chosen sin. You have chosen the darkness over the light. And there's nothing you can do to make up for your sin. You deserve the darkness, just like me. But here's the good news. Jesus, the light of the world, stepped down into our darkness. He took on the darkness. He took our sin on Himself, and He paid for it with His life on the cross, so that now, if we trust in Him, we are forgiven. Right now, if you do not have faith in Jesus, He offers you forgiveness. He offers you light. He offers you hope, free of charge. It is a gift. Will you accept it today? If you know I'm talking to you, if you know that you need to trust in Jesus, then do it right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Instead, come to God right now and say, I know I am a sinner. I know that I am living in darkness, but I believe that Jesus died for me, so forgive me because of Jesus. And if you trust him in your heart, then your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the gift of hope. Maybe you have questions about that. Maybe you want to talk to someone about that. Maybe you want someone to pray with you about that. If that's the case, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. Come as everybody else is singing. Let's talk about what it means to trust in Jesus and have hope in him. And after the service, I'm going to be hanging around right down here waiting to talk with you. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and receiving the gift of hope. Christian, this Christmas season, don't live like you're in the dark. Light has dawned. Hope has come. So whatever you face, remember the gift of hope that you have received in Jesus and live according to that hope. And so to close out this, I just want to read a picture of our hope. This is, if you have hope in Jesus, this is what King Jesus will bring for you. It comes from the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. This is what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Listen to this. "Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Christian, that is what you will receive when Jesus, your hopeful King, returns. So live in hope this season. So I'm going to pray, and then let's sing praises to our King who gives us hope. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you that we have hope in Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to live in darkness. Thank you that the light has come. And so I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with hope. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live in despair, but we can live hopefully because Jesus is coming back. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be set on him. I pray no matter what happens this season to anybody in here, I pray that the hope that they have in Jesus would overcome. I pray, Lord, that that would influence their feelings, their thinking as they go through the Christmas season. Lord, if there's someone in here who has not trusted in Jesus yet, show them their sin, their need for a Savior. Show them what Jesus has done and let them come to faith right now. Let all of this be for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.